So there's your demand for funding. Now, where do we obtain the funding? Where does the funding come from? Most of it is going to come from your balance sheet, either on your assets or adding to your shares and deposits. Maturing investments. When we do the cash flow statement, you'll see that we're looking primarily at maturing investments to fund liquidity demand. Loan turnover or maturing loans. Your installment loans mature a little bit every month. Retail shares and deposits. Even if there's a reputation risk issue for insured deposits, there is the definite possibility that you could have a CD sale or a CD special and raise additional funding. Brokered deposits. It's literally a matter of less than a day to get set up to take brokered deposits over the internet. Not under the best of circumstances, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if you need money, where are you going to get it? Investment sales. Your investments. Some of them have market values and can be sold. Loan sales is a little bit more problematical, but theoretically loans can be sold, mortgage loans especially, and if you're doing this, then that's a bona fide source of funding. If you've never done it, then probably not anything you want to rely on. Loans are committed lines of credit on pledged assets. This would be at the Federal Home Loan Bank or possibly at the corporate. Possibly at the Federal Reserve discount window. I didn't get that one listed there. Or the Central Liquidity Facility, which most of you are never going to belong to unless the rules change. And then unsecured lines of credit. This would be the line of credit that most of you have with your corporate, where it's a daily demand type of loan, which is way down the list on things that you want to rely on. Let's talk a little bit about where the regulators enter in. Liquidity was the primary cause of the crunch in 2008, not with credit unions, but with the large banks. They basically, their funding sources dried up, and they basically ran out of liquidity. The banking system very nearly collapsed because of the lack of liquidity. Basically, we got to where that perception is reality, and everybody perceived that nobody was trustworthy, so nobody would extend credit to anybody. And I'm talking about among the large major banks. And the system basically just froze up. And as a result of that, we've had a lot of rules and regulations come down with liquidity. The primary one being the FFIEC guidance issued in March of 2010. NCOA is part of the FFIEC, and what that guidance requires is a system to manage liquidity that's commensurate with your complexity and your risk profile. You need a cushion of liquid assets, but they don't say how much. You need cash flow projections. You need stress testing. You need diversified funding sources. And you need a contingency funding plan. Now, it took the National Credit Union Administration, so this applies to almost all credit unions except those that are privately insured through ASI, and there may be some of you out there. Technically, this doesn't apply, but in reality, your state regulators are still going to apply it and apply the spirit of the law. So it took NCUA 3 years to actually work through that official document from the FFIEC and outline to credit unions what was expected of them. Because there is that paragraph, that bullet in there about consistent with the complexity of your institution. So here's NCUA and their take on this for federally insured credit unions, not just federal credit unions, but all federally insured credit unions. If you're under $50 million in total assets, you're required to maintain a liquidity policy written, which outlines the framework for managing liquidity and identifies contingent liquidity sources. And then on top of that, it goes without saying, you're required to use common sense and and good business practices. So if you're under $50 million, you're in compliance with the rule by having a written liquidity policy approved and meeting these requirements. If the credit union's total assets exceed $50 million, so if you're at $40 million and rising, this is going to apply to you either now or in the future, you are required to have a contingency funding plan. This is a plan, and it goes without saying that it's in writing, that sets out strategies for managing funding shortfalls and emergencies. I've been talking to people about this for about 6 months now. A lot of people that I've spoken with personally don't understand that this has to be a written document that sets out your plan for managing shortfalls. When I speak with people, they say, well, we just completed a line of credit with our corporate or with some other third party, and they're confident that meets the requirement, and honestly, I don't believe it does. If that's part of your contingency funding plan that's written, and we're going to talk about the components of a contingency funding plan here in a minute, then that's part of the compliance. But basically, you need to have a funding plan, a plan that says out in general terms, not specific terms, what you're going to do if you have a funding shortfall. And then if you happen to be over $250 million in assets, you are required to access one of the federal liquidity sources. There are two, the Fed discount window or the central liquidity facility, and test that periodically. And there are probably a few of you out there that meet this requirement. And this is fairly easy to do with the Fed discount window. It doesn't cost you anything other than some time to fill out documents and meet their requirements. There's no fees attached or anything. The Fed discount window is a very short-term lender, usually for a few days or a few weeks at the very most. The CLF is very problematical to access at this point in time. So that's the basic requirements. Most of you probably fall in this 50 to 2 million 250 category. It means that you need to have a contingency funding plan. We're going to come back and talk about that in just a few minutes.